I think part of the problem is a lot of Catholics don't understand what an annulment is, or they don't understand the annulment process. Pope Francis is simplifying the process now, basically trying to say either somebody's entitled to an annulment or they're not. And if they're entitled to an annulment, then they should be able to get that easily and they should be able to get it quickly. So in the Catholic tradition, what is an annulment? An annulment is an assessment by the Church, a formal decree by the Church that the marriage actually never properly happened in the first place, that the marriage wasn't valid from the beginning, because what the Church describes as a defect, there was a defect, as the name suggested, it nullifies the marriage. So I think a lot of people, they have a perception about that maybe, you know, if you've got lots of money or you're very well connected Catholic, then you can have your marriage nullified easily. We've seen some what you might call celebrity cases where people have had their marriages nullified. So what the Pope is doing, he's opening up this process and he's saying to people, this is a process that exists within the Church. If there is this defect in a marriage, then the Church will nullify the marriage, and the Church will do it more quickly, because up until now, if you engage in the process, then a decision is made by a church court known as a tribunal. Then there's a mandatory appeal, so that goes to a secondary tribunal in Maynooth. So it's a long and cumbersome process. So what the Pope is really saying is he wants to simplify it. And this is part of his mission of mercy. The Pope is saying people who have experienced marital breakdown, people who have had broken marriages, they're really suffering as a result of that. And they're vulnerable people. And his responsibility as chief pastor is to reach out to those people who are suffering and not tie them up in kind of legal formula. So that's I think, part of the reason why he's trying to simplify this.
But in a sense, an awful lot of Catholic marriages could become invalid if you looked very strictly at them. I mean, one of the criteria is open to life. So if a Catholic couple are using contraception, technically their marriage becomes invalid, even though neither party within the marriage might actually want to dissolve it. So how do you draw the line, you know?
The Church always presumes that a marriage is valid. The assumption is always given that marriage is valid. And an annulment process is about someone trying to prove that it's not valid. And that's why you have one of the canon lawyers involved in the process is known as defender of the bond. And his responsibility is to emphatically state that the marriage is valid. You're absolutely right. This potentially opens the floodgates, because the Church assumes that Catholics believe what the Church believes about marriage. So what the Church believes marriage to be is three things principally: that it's exclusive, that it's open to life, and that it's permanent. It was okay maybe a couple of generations ago for the Church to assume that, and assume that Catholics by and large believed that about marriage, because society by and large believed that about marriage. Well, society has shifted its view about marriage. If you look at the referendum on same-sex marriage, that's clear that a lot of people have shifted their view around marriage. Catholics are not immune to that. Catholics live in the culture. So the question then becomes, to what extent do Catholic couples getting married no longer share the Church's vision of marriage? And as far back as 1998, Cardinal Ratzinger, who later became, of course, Pope Benedict XVI, he asked that question. He said, to what extent should the Church consider all Catholic marriages as sacramentally valid? Now, that does open up a very wide question then, because the question becomes, if you have all these Catholic couples who are married and they don't share the Church's vision of marriage, is their marriage valid? Yet the vast majority of them live in happy, fulfilled marriages. So as far as they're concerned, the marriage is valid. So that's not something the Church wants to get into too deeply, I think, because you don't want all these tens of thousands of couples suddenly being faced with the dilemma that their marriage may or may not be valid. But it does, I think, it does open up the process from the point of view, if you have a marriage that has broken down and perhaps somebody entered into the marriage thinking, oh, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, we can always get divorced in a couple of years. That's very clearly not a desire for permanence. So that, to me, is the sort of cases I think that Pope Francis is trying to address. I think he probably has in mind, in terms of how onerous the process can become, is his own niece, Maria Inez, who she had to wait 4 years while the man she loved was waiting on his annulment to come through. And what the Pope is saying, well, that's really unjust that one has to wait that long. The old saying, you know, justice delayed is justice denied. So it's back to this point again, either someone is entitled to have the marriage nullified or they're not. And if they are entitled, then that's something that should happen quickly. And I suppose it's important to point out as well that the criteria by which a marriage can be nullified. The criteria haven't changed. So it's, the Pope says this himself in his letter, this is not about granting more annulments. This is about making the process easier. So criteria haven't changed at all. It's just the process that has changed.
You're talking there now about couples, you know, who they have one idea of what their marriage is, and that the church has another idea of what their marriage is. And, you know, in a sense, that's fine, as long as in the case of the couple that want to stay together, that's fine. But if you get a couple where one person wants to have an annulment, but the other person doesn't, but then the person can turn around and point to things and say, right, well, you know, that makes it invalid, do you know, like, or they did something then that now makes it invalid, or they were taking contraception, or, you know, they voted for divorce or something, you know, they could point to things like that, which could be maybe hurtful for the person who's at the other side saying, well, no, actually, I still think that our Catholic marriage, despite everything, is valid.
And that's why the assumption from the church is always validity, and the person who is trying to prove invalidity, there's a very heavy burden of proof in them in that circumstance, precisely because the church doesn't want people to be deceptive, or doesn't want people to say, oh, well, I'll be able to kind of make something up, or I'll be able to say, oh, I had this defect at the beginning of the marriage, so therefore the marriage wasn't valid. So the process itself still remains extremely robust. The process, I think, just becomes, it just becomes quicker, it just becomes more streamlined, because you don't have the you don't have the automatic appeal as you have up to now, but the people themselves, the burden of proof will still be very heavy. And we do quite often in the church, we do have this very sad situation quite often where a marriage breaks down, but the marriage is perfectly valid. One person will try to say to the church tribunal that I believe the marriage is invalid for X, Y and Z reason, whereas the other spouse will be absolutely convinced of the validity of the marriage. And that often happens, and it's a very painful case, because the relationship has irretrievably broken down, but yet the question of validity is investigated by the church, and there's no doubts around the validity, and that creates a terrible dilemma for people quite often.
Yeah, that's very painful, isn't it, on both parties, because one person is saying, well, no, we've broken up, and the other person is saying, no, it's completely valid, and the church is saying, is trying to arbitrate as to whether it's valid or not. You know, it's a very painful process for people.
It's extremely painful for people, because with the best will in the world, even if people are immature or there are psychological issues, all couples enter into marriage hoping that it's going to work out. I don't think anyone really at a real level enters into marriage with like one foot in, one foot out. Everyone desires the best for themselves, desires the best for the relationship, but with the best will in the world, sometimes people aren't compatible, things don't suit, something happens in the marriage that means that it's irretrievably broken down, and that creates a great deal of pain for people. And I think one of the reasons why Pope Francis has addressed this now ahead of the meeting of the Synod of Bishops, which is due to take place next month, is because he wants the Synod of Bishops to look actually at the issue, what do we do about people's marriages who have broken down and they're not invalid, but still they're experiencing marital breakdown. So at one level we have the administrative thing with the annulments where the marriage is invalid and we declare that invalid, but that doesn't account for all marital breakdowns. What about Catholic couples who experience marital breakdown and the marriage was valid? And one of the very real issues that the Synod Fathers are going to have to discuss around that is the issue of Holy Communion. It's a great source of pain for people who, with the best will in the world, their marriages have broken down, they're very involved in their local parish community, they're very involved in the faith life of the church, yet they feel very profoundly, if they're in a second relationship, that the church's teaching, the church's discipline is that they ought not to receive Holy Communion. That is a great cause of pain for people. And there is a division in the church about this. And one of the beautiful things about Pope Francis is we discuss these things in the open. It's okay for there to be a division. It's okay for some cardinals to think that these people should receive communion. It's okay for other cardinals to say that they shouldn't receive communion. And that is part of this whole process of the synod, this debating things, this trashing things, that not pretending that these things aren't issues, not pretending that this is some kind of abstract discussion that what would we do if a Catholic ever had a broken marriage and wanted to receive communion. Catholics do have broken marriages and want to receive communion, so this is a real pastoral issue that that has to be addressed. And actually it's interesting, the sub-theme of the Synod is pastoral challenges facing the family. It's not theological challenges facing the family or sociological challenges facing the family, which, you know, there could be a lot of discussion about as well, but it's pastoral challenges. How do they affect us in our parishes, in the faith life of the local community?
So it's almost trying to take a more pragmatic approach and just saying, you know, how can we help people? How can we make this easier?
Francis's great mission, Pope Francis's great mission is mercy. I love that theme. When he was first elected Pope, he said, God never tires of forgiving us, but we tire of asking for God's forgiveness. It's like, almost like he was proclaiming a time of God's favour, of mercy. And actually, I think it's very interesting that the Year of Mercy begins on December 8th, this Jubilee year, at which, you know, the Church believes traditionally that the avenue of mercy is open even more widely during this Jubilee year. Pope Francis sees God's mercy as the great antidote, actually, to conservative pessimists and liberals who are overly optimistic, because actually what understanding God's mercy creates a sense that we are all dependent on God, that it's not us who are responsible, that it's God who's responsible. And he sees this as families are under great pressure in the modern world for all kinds of reasons, and they have a great need of God's mercy, a great need of God's consolation. So the Synod is about opening that up, and it's about opening it up and saying that we don't make a desire for the perfect the enemy of the good. Our families aren't perfect because we're not perfect, and it's actually okay not to be perfect, and the Church has to minister to people where they're at in that imperfection and be honest about that. We have this idealized vision of a family quite often in the Catholic Church, and we look to Jesus, Mary and Joseph as the Holy Family. Well, you know what, the Holy Family were asylum seekers. The Holy Family had all kinds of challenges, had all kinds of difficulties. Jesus' upbringing was far from ideal, as we see from the scriptures. So the idealized family is there as the Holy Family, with all of its difficulties, with all of its travails. The Church likes to use the language of, you know, joy and hope, sorrow and despair. And I think what Pope Francis is saying is, let's take a sharp intake of breath and let's be really honest about all the challenges facing the family, and not be afraid of naming them, and not be afraid of actually saying, well, you know what, we have this difficulty, we have that difficulty, and try to affirm people in where they're at in the relationship, and that is where God meets them. Not that God is waiting on them to become some perfect idealized family, and that's where he meets them. He meets them actually where they are now.